Okay, we are plugged in for another day. It's Sunday, 11th of December, 2016. Unbelievable how fast it's going. You're listening to the Kres Files podcast. Of course, our guests can grab this over at iTunes, and you can also go to the website kresfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. So much stuff going up there, honestly, to pore over, and that links to our social media pages, Twitter and Facebook. Ton of stuff going up there as well. Website info for other websites to look at, and you can check our podcasts out on the website as well, and also take a look at another website called opensourcetruth.com. A lot of stuff going up there in regards to GMOs and vaccines and all sorts of stuff going on, so check that out. It's also links to the Natural Solutions Foundation page on Facebook, going over nearly 110,000 likes there, so a lot of people clicking in there. And have a big show today, certainly do, to say the least. But it's been a long time coming. And before I bring my guest in, I just want to say that on this podcast, particularly when I first started, and even before, I've been talking about this climate engineering, geoengineering, chemtrails, whatever name you have for it. I've been trying to put out info, and I feel like it's been a bit sporadic. But I'm seeing it for myself every day, almost. Not every day, but I think it's less here in Australia. It's happening definitely in urban areas and Sydney, Melbourne and stuff here. But just a couple of weekends ago, I walked out and it was going right over my head, whatever they were putting in the atmosphere, and I took photos and videos. Amazing, the gatekeeper trolls keep plugging away on Facebook, telling you it's clouds and contrails, but I'm not crazy. I'm seeing it, and this stuff was spreading everywhere, and it looked like chewing gum stretched across the sky. It turns by the afternoon into a film, and then that day there was like an orb in the sky. A lot of people on social media took photos and saw it. A lot of people who didn't believe it before are now asking questions about what is this stuff. Amazing that I'm seeing people just on the weekends drinking coffee and this is being sprayed right over their head. I've seen it go right over my head and stop and then continue south towards Sydney. And so something was coming out there. I think, you know, people are seeing this more and more. And so I've tried to cover it on this podcast as best I can, as in, you know, what they may be doing, what it could contain with the, you know, the particulates and the metals and the barium and aluminum and all of this stuff that we could be breathing in. And we've tried to link it into the GMOs and the vaccines and all of this. And of course, HARP, I was looking at Nexus magazine articles in the 90s about this kind of material. So it's been a long time, my own research looking at. Of course, I've talked a lot about our guest today's work and even Clifford Carnicom's work. I've talked about, you know, the new biology paper. I've had guests on, Diane Olive, about this Morgellons condition, where she said she felt like this stuff was in her bloodstream. Very peculiar, and this kind of spiderweb material that people are seeing coming down, the military smart dust, all of this we've talked about. But as I said, it's been a bit sort of sporadic that I've tried to get it out there and put it on the website. But one in particular person who's my guest today, Elena Freeland, she's done this a long time, and she's here today to chat with me to connect the dots a bit more. And we're going to do a whole show on this, an hour, just on this subject, and to give people a better sort of look into this window of what may be going on, because I feel like I'm living in the Truman Show when this is happening. And I wonder about the weather now as well, if it's all completely dominated, you know, because we're getting strange weather patterns in Australia. I'm seeing it all the time. And this asthma thunderstorm, they called it, in Melbourne. We're seeing this stuff going off out to sea, these like cluster bombs and weird hazy stuff coming in. People are getting sick. And we're also seeing in the US, they're calling chem flu and new conditions in the respiratory tract where you're getting a lot of young and elderly people sick and they don't have a name for it yet. This cannot be good for our health. So Elena is here today to go over this a bit deeper and give us a better perspective on this. So, Elena, welcome to the podcast today. Good to have you plugged in.
Oh, thanks for having me, Adam.
You've done a lot of work on this. You have, and you've written an incredible book. We'll talk about that as well. And you've got so much great YouTube videos up as well. So I'll put those up as many as I can. But you're going into a lot of deeper stuff as well. But why don't we start off today and just get to know you a little bit for our guests, particularly here in Australia and New Zealand and our part of the world, and hear your side of things and how you fell into this research. And we'll just kind of wing it from there and do the best we can. But talk about your experiences a little bit and how you got into this.
All right, I will do that.
And who you are, of course.
Say it again.
And who you are, of course. So our guests
yes,
can look
here
you up.
I am.
I'm not sure if you have a website,
No. I only have Facebook.
That's
I have
right.
No time to set up a website. I've been going 24/7 pretty much
busy
since 2012 on this topic, because I now understand how dire it is, and that I want the public to know what's going on, the public all over the world. So if I start with how I got into this, I had done a great deal of research on what had happened to the American government since John Kennedy's assassination in 1963. I had had the honor of being at Girls Nation in Washington, D.C. the summer before he was murdered, and I had spent an afternoon in the Rose Garden with him, along with other girls and the boys from Boys Nation, one of whom was Bill Clinton. I didn't know him then, but I know he was there at the same time I was. And I had been picked out of the audience by Kennedy because he thought I looked like his wife, and it was a nice little photo op, I suppose, with a young girl from one of the states in the United States. And so when I went home, I was a bit of a celebrity, and I had to give talks at the civic groups who had paid for my trip to Washington. And then 3 months later, he was dead. And I had to go back to those places and give another talk to rooms filled with sobbing, crying people. And I always say that was the moment that my political consciousness was really born, was to realize what it was to kill a sitting president on television.
In broad daylight in front of the planet. Yeah,
for entire nation to see, and it really threw the entire nation into PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I don't think that Americans recovered. There has been no criminal who has had justice meted out for that conspiracy to kill Kennedy, and to do it on television in broad day was definitely a psychological operation. So years later, I, of course, cut my teeth, my research teeth, like many researchers, on the Kennedy assassination. And I had a bit of an axe to grind because I had worshipped him as a young girl. So I did a great deal of research on all aspects of the American government for about 10 years, and that is when I knew Dave McGowan, and we used to chat on the phone, he in Los Angeles and me in Olympia, Washington, about the different conspiracy theories that we had about the country, and that was in the probably early to mid-90s. So I had many files loaded with stuff, and I wrote a series of historical fiction or fictional history books. It's five books called Sub Rosa America, Sub Rosa being a term from the Middle Ages, under the rose, which meant covert, secret, hidden. And as I wrote those books, and it took a long time because, as I said, I had a lot of research to do, I had a file on chemtrails, and I had another file on HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska. I had, by 1996, read Nick Begich and Gene Manning's book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. I certainly understood that this technology was very dangerous. for the atmosphere and for the ionosphere and magnetosphere. What I didn't know then was that it was connected to the chemical trails, the other file that I had. So I had done, when I lived in England, I had done some work for a publisher, and he asked me if I thought I could write a book on chemtrails. And that's how it began. That was 2012. So it took me about 2 years to do the research and to write my book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. And the reason that it was something I thought I could write was not simply because I had a file on it, but I had lived, after I got back from England, I lived in New Mexico, where I had gone to grad school before. So I moved back there, and I became friends with Clifford Carnicom. It wasn't at all through the chemical trails that I became friends with him. It was sort of serendipitous that we became friends. And then I realized how much he knew. And then I probed deeper and I realized that this was the man. This was the independent scientist in the late 90s who had begun the collection of real evidence from the chemical trails being laid over northern New Mexico. So Clifford and his wife and I and others would go out to breakfast every few weeks, and Clifford and I would end up talking about the chemtrails. And this was before the publisher had asked me to write the book. So by the time I wrote the book, I had had my blood examined, I had had my saliva examined, I had looked under the microscope at the Morgellons creature, which Clifford has renamed the cross-domain bacteria. I watched it eat the or suck the iron right out of my red blood cells. So I understood that it wasn't just the people with lesions and who were deeply suffering who had this strange bioengineered creature, but that we all had breathed it in. It was in the bloodstreams of everyone. And that would, when I say everyone, I certainly include all NATO countries, because I am convinced, and I make a good case for it in my book, that NATO membership is one of the requisites of being a NATO member, is that you will have these trails laid over your country. Period. There is no discussion. And I learned that by watching a small country become part of NATO and realizing the next day the planes were flying over that country and it was locked into tremendous cloud cover. So then when I started researching it in a serious mode, and after talking with Clifford, I realized that yes, HARP was connected to the chemtrails, and HARP was only one ionospheric heater. There were others that preceded it, but HARP's claim to fame was that it was so powerful, and it was pursuing for about a decade, maybe a little more, many experiments with the ionosphere. And the basic core intent of those experiments was to see if the not only that we could increase the ionizing effect by using microwaves and radio waves to target the ionosphere and basically push a bubble out into the cosmos in the ionosphere, and in subsequently, you can imagine we damaged the ionosphere. To suck, which would cause the lower atmospheres to be sucked up into the ionosphere, and when they came out, and the new ions, the new electrons that had been activated, would sort of swirl down the magnetic lines of force that are part of our magnetosphere that the Earth is in the core of, that made our atmosphere electrical. That made our atmosphere into an antenna. And because of how Bernard Eastland's patent worked, and I go into that deeply in Chapter 2, not only were they able to ionize and electrify the atmosphere, But this made it so that they could pursue several lines of not just research, but real military operations, as long as they could keep the atmosphere ionized. And at first, that meant that they would have the ionospheric heaters all the way from the Norway one called ISCAT to the Arecibo one down in Puerto Rico, to the Brookhaven National Labs on Long Island, New York. All of these ionospheric heaters could do what HAARP had done on a smaller scale. And because they're using a technology called scalar technology, and they're interfering wave beams from these ionospheric heaters over target areas, they were able to keep the atmosphere ionized without dipping into the ionosphere much at all. In fact, I would almost say that they've turned our atmosphere into a mini ionosphere that they can utilize, and they one of the ways they pump it, besides the fact that weather engineering is useful for political warfare, economic warfare, biological warfare, they can pump the atmosphere with weather systems by taking a low pressure zone and turning it into a high pressure zone by tornado activity, hurricane activity, and that itself will keep the lower atmosphere ionized for all of the military operations. So now, have you been able to follow all of that?
Yes, fine. Just listening through that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That, I mean,
Absolutely.
it's a complex picture,
It is,
but
yeah.
once you realize that the idea was to ionize the atmosphere, the lower atmosphere, our troposphere, so that military operations could go forward covertly. And this is the reason for the bogus, in a way. I mean, remember, when you're doing psychological operations and you're lying to the public in the media, you've got to have enough truth in your story to be believed, because in a way, people, no matter how asleep they are, they have a truth organ, and they can smell a rat if there isn't enough truth in it. So they have this story of climate change, and it's true. The climate is changed. It is changing. It is changed
Yep.
because of this technology. They talk about global warming, and it is true. Everything is warming, and because it's being heated, our atmosphere is being heated daily by the chemicals that are released by the jets, by drones, and these are zapped with lasers, with high-powered microwaves, with radio waves. So they are heating the atmosphere for a while. It was pretty crazy because they weren't very good at it, and they were running lots and lots of experiments, and going too far and not far enough, and tweaking it and recalibrating the ionospheric heaters with the radar installations, with the cell phone towers, with the Gwen Towers, with the NEXRADs, all of these instruments on the ground that have to be pulsed at exactly the same calibration as the ionospheric heaters. This took a lot of that's what we've been at for 20 years. It's 20 years now that they've been at this, and all of it being smeared with a lying campaign with geoengineers like David Keith and Ken Caldera, being the cheerleaders out front and saying, "Oh, well, it would be terrible if we had to do this. It's those bad, nasty carbons in your cars that are doing this," and blaming the public as usual. And now it's gone as far as they have a huge money-making scheme to charge nations for carbon taxes, and if the nation refuses, lo and behold, they can hit them with weather that will just decimate them.
That's right.
So it's quite the scheme. And of course, it had to be covert all these years. So when people look up and say, oh, yeah, that's a contrail. Well, you know, the ignorance is so deep because hardly anyone, certainly in my nation, I don't know about yours, but here people seem to hate science and technology, and yet they love their little cell phones and all their comfortable and convenient items. But no one really studies, no one reads anymore, no one thinks, no one debates, no one talks to each other. So you have this situation in which the media is all powerful, and if you control the media to tell your lies with just the right amount of truth in it, then you're golden. And you can run any operation whatsoever for decades with no one being the wiser. Meanwhile, everyone's health is going down the drain. Americans have never looked worse. I'm sure it's true. I lived in England for a few years. The British looked appallingly bad. And no one is the wiser for what is causing this. And yet we're breathing this stuff in. Some of which is from the lion's share is from the combustion chamber of the jet engines, not just military jets, but commercial jets as well. And in that combustion chamber, a chemical process known as pyrolysis takes place. And I go through that thoroughly in the Space Fence book, which I've just finished and which will be out in September 2017, because I realized when I wrote Chemtrails Harp, I didn't really understand. We were still at the argument phase back then of, well, is it coming out of the back of the jet, or is it coming out of an additional system off the wings? And, you know, we really hadn't sussed out how it was happening. Well, that's not true anymore. Now, I think we're pretty sure, we being several major activists in this movement that I'm in touch with, so that we can understand how it works. Of course, there are many things that are changing along with this knowledge, one of which is the delivery system itself seems to be changing. I mean, we're not seeing necessarily long streaming trails that then spread out slowly into cirrus cloud cover, which is really a chemicalized plasma cloud cover. These clouds don't have hardly any moisture in them unless they beef them up with water in order to create a storm system that they need somewhere. Normally, this cirrus cloud cover is dry as a bone because it's loaded with aluminum, barium, strontium, titanium, lithium, all of these metals that make it very dry. So summers are extremely hot now, and people often will say, oh, I feel like I'm in a microwave oven.
Yeah.
Do they know that that's exactly what
yes.
they're doing? Or in the cold winter, you can use that same system to produce nucleated snow that's chemical in nature and is... does not melt, but you can burn it. So, you know, we've always lived in a chemical world, but this chemical world is something that our bodies are not evolved to handle. And so thus the sickness, and some people, I myself do not suffer from the lesions of Morgellons, you know, I had to think long and hard about why some people are suffering tremendously from it, the lesions being open like little craters, and sticking out of them are these fibers that if you check into hospital, they, you know, immediately and start talking about these parasitic, creepy, crawly things coming out of your wounds. Instead of taking a sample and running it under a high-powered microscope and doing some tests on it, You'll simply be accused of what we call, in this country anyway, delusional parasitosis, and be sent down the hall to the psychiatrist. It seems to be a massive cover-up, and I feel, and I'm not sure what Clifford thinks these days. He and his wife are traveling right now down in the Southwest, but I feel that this is all very experimental, the biological part of the chemtrails, because there are seven basic core operations going on, and I can go through those in a moment. But the biological is very much experimental with creatures, and I'm not sure at all that the cross-domain bacteria is the only thing coming down. I know fungi are coming down, or fungi, however you pronounce it, and these fungi are actually, yes, some of the spores are from our lower atmosphere that get swept up in wind currents, but some of them appear to be coming from the upper atmosphere that we have never had down here. And this will be a problem as well. People will be incubating these either fungi from up above or genetically engineered creatures that are somehow put into the fuel that is coming from the jets, or is a supplementary system being released simultaneously. And that's kind of, I have good advice to give people from that, but I want to be clear on that it appears that we are all carriers of this, at least the Morgellons creature. And the really bad news to me, besides the fact that it's eating the iron out of our red blood cells, and we're producing approximately 16% less oxygen now than we did 20 years ago, is that these Morgellons also seem to have microprocessors engineered into them, which are tiny computers, and sensors engineered into them. So they're sensing things, they're measuring things, they're collecting data, and then by the microprocessor, they're being remotely, they can be remotely connected to in order to relay that information to computers, laptops, monitors of, young guys sitting in Colorado sipping their orange juice while they're, doing their job. So this is a problem in that these microprocessors make it absolutely possible that the Morgellons creature and perhaps other genetically engineered creatures on a very small scale that we can't see are actually being programmed from afar to do varied and sundry things. So, this is not okay. This is, nobody agreed to this. This is, again, another non-consensual experiment going on by, and it usually is, the U.S. government or the British government. These are the two main perpetrators, which is an incredible irony in that these two nations are known historically for democracy and parliamentary procedure. It's like unbelievable. It makes you want to tear your hair out that you can have such a lie in history now compared to what has overtaken these two nations and others, but I'm most familiar with these two nations. So anyway, I want you to get a word in edgewise. I've given you a big picture, very difficult to grasp it all, and I would be happy to answer some of the smaller questions. And one of the things that we do need to do at some point, though, is name those seven operations.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, there's so much in there that you're talking about. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And that artificial or synthetic biology As we mentioned, Clifford Carnacom wrote the paper, The New Biology, and you mentioned that. It seems to be in the fabric of nature because they noted it was even in all the food. And that makes me think, well, why am I buying organic food if it's just in everything? And we don't have any, what can we do against a weapon like that if we're all breathing it in? And I'm just sort of wondering, I know the filaments or these, some of them are plastic even in nature, but as we've said, some of these, I'm wondering why it's certain people, you know, if it's... if the Morgellons is infected all of us on planet Earth, which does make sense, and then you're getting certain individuals who are having almost extreme, I would call them extreme reactions, or their immune systems are reacting so extreme, but as you said, they're getting these sores with these filaments or plastics or bits sticking out of the sores. I've seen a lot of those pictures, but it seems to be like a hive mind almost, that that it's getting into people and spreading and moving around in them. And
well, I think you've said the magic word, hive mind.
Yeah,
I do think that that is one of the experiment's objectives, is to, because what we're really looking at is a transhumanist future.
That's right,
and they're very, very invested in that. If you look at what the very wealthy, the, you know, 0.1% are investing in, it's neuroengineering, bioengineering. We're heading toward transhumanism.
That's right.
And so every experiment, particularly in the biological level, and that would include breathing in the chemicals, learning to live with the chemical mix that we're breathing in. And that does include plastics. I call them, they're like mylar, and all the filaments themselves, which are programmed and have microcomputers and and sensors. And I mean, how will people do breathing these in? Who will live? Who will die? Whose immune system is strong enough to handle the presence of these foreign agents? I mean, I think that these are all questions that the scientists running this operation have, and they're very interested. And because, you know, they don't need permission for hospital records, doctor records, dental records, psychiatrist records, they can just hack in and read anything that they wish now. And so I think that it's very much about the future hive mind. How shall we do it? Well, certainly we're going to do it with GMO foods, genetically modified foods. That's a given. So that comes out through Monsanto, a very old corporation here in America, and so you know, old according to American standards. And Monsanto sets up its GMO foods to respond exactly to the chemical equation of these of what's being dropped on us from the chemical trails. They come out with an aluminum resistant seed. They have a seed called that, you know, we all call the Terminator seed, that you cannot save for another year. You've got to use it now, and then you've got to buy new seed next year. All of this is about transforming our bodies, seeing how it works from nature, which we've done for millions of years, this body, to see if they can bump it in a different direction. Their idea is to enhance us. That's a transhumanist idea. So this first question of the immune system, I mean, if you want to transform someone's organism, you want to transform it, you're going to need to get to their DNA, and you're going to need to deal with that immune system. You're going to have to weaken that immune system, because that has been our godsend.
That's right.
We are one of the most flexible creatures on the earth. We can adjust to many things, but we are inferior to other creatures. Like, you know, we get cold easily. We need clothing. We need housing. We need our childhood is longer than most animals on the earth. And so all of these things are on their mind as they're thinking, how shall we enhance them? But first they need to really look at that immune system and see just how it works, why some people have a strong immune system, why some people have a weak immune system. And as far as those who have the, I've finally decided that those who have the lesions do have weak immune systems. Mm. And they need to take very, very good care of their immune systems. And if you, you know, I can go through what I do, and I know there are many systems, but I was so fortunate in that when I was very young in the 60s, I studied Chinese medicine for 6 years. And I use Chinese medicine, which is 5,000 years old, compared to Western medicine, which is about 200 to 300 years old. So Chinese medicine is basically based on a balance between acidity and alkalinity. And if you know which way the foods go and what eating seasonally means and not eating food off of jet planes, but eating them that have been grown in your area and all that stuff. And I've religiously followed this all these years. No doctors since I was 13. I'll be 70 next year. Nothing hurts. Everything works. This is how you do it. You keep a balance between alkalinity and acidity. And these Morgellons, when Clifford and I were working together, I put him on the macrobiotic regime for 10 days, he and his wife, and I cooked everything for them and, you know, and made him, he made faces all the time. He didn't like it. He likes junk food. Immediately they both felt better because they were eating straight out of nature, straight, no refined foods, and the acidity alkaline balance was perfect, so that the Morgellons creature that Clifford certainly was struggling with back then really had no place to rest its head, because it despises alkalinity and it thrives in acidity. So sugar produces acidity, vinegar produces acidity, wine produces acidity, you know, all these things that we love. But maybe we need to have not too much of these things so that we can retain an alkaline environment. He did raise many of Morgellon cultures in petri dishes, and would put this in one petri dish and that in another. And he really did it. He's very very thorough and does things repetitively to make sure that he's getting the right, he's interpreting the right results. And it is true, they do thrive in an acid environment, and they you can't kill them. I don't think any way has been found to kill them, because they are not really an organic creature. They're semi-organic. They're half organic and they're half inorganic. They are genetically engineered to be a creature that cannot be killed. But you can put them in stasis and they do not grow. They cannot grow. So all of that is exciting in that it isn't hopeless. I know that, yes, organic food grown out in the open is being completely doused in aluminum, barium, etc., whatever. But you can find ways to keep the immune system eating a food it recognizes. This is the problem with GMOs. You put it in the body doesn't recognize it. This is not nature, it says. What is this stuff? And so what it does then is it stores it in the tissues. That's why cancer has arisen so phenomenally. That's what the body, it's brilliant. You know, it knows how to, okay, let's tuck this away over here. We can't quite excrete it because there's too much of it coming in and we don't recognize its chemical configuration. So we will store it. And then you develop internal diseases, fibromyalgia, all of it, chronic fatigue syndrome, all these immune system diseases begin to proliferate because the immune system is stressed and the body is confused over the type of food coming in. And when people say to me, oh, but, you know, organic's so expensive, and you know what? There's nothing more expensive than sacrificing your health. I don't know anything more expensive than that. So I eat organic. I eat a lot of whole grains, vegetables, beans, seaweed, miso. I have a good time eating other things now and then, but that's my core diet. I stay on it because it keeps the intestinal tract functioning well. If you can't keep your intestinal tract functioning well, your immune system will not work well, period. Right. There is no question.
Yep.
And now they've done enough science to see that that's true. But, I mean, you know, I learned that from Chinese medicine.
That's right.
That the thing to treat is not your heart. It's your intestinal tract.
Your gut. Yeah, that's what the GMOs are attacking, and the vaccines.
Yeah.
They get you in the... in the gut. There's so many things you brought up there. I've got like a million things, but it's I agree. I've gone through a lot of this. I agree with. I actually call our modern medicine going to the doctor and all this. I think that's alternative medicine. They call alternative medicine Chinese medicine and all that, you know, and homeopathy and all this. But herbs, I mean, this has been around. You know, herbs have been around since recorded writings, you know, so modern medicine is the alternative medicine. So they say, oh, you use alternative medicine. Yes. Well, no, I don't.
But it's the food. It's the food, though, Adam.
It's the food.
It's
not just
herbs and things. It's how you eat.
What you put in the body, your fuel.
Every day of your life,
absolutely.
You have to eat.
I think you can grow it at home, too. You know, you can grow your own if you have even a little bit of space, even in your backyard. You can grow your own food. But yeah, I've done a lot of stuff on food. You're absolutely right, getting that into your body. I eat similar to that. I eat a lot of whole stuff and all that, and I'm pretty good. And I think when your immune system's low, you're going to get sort of mainly flu sort of symptoms, and then they're going to tell you got a cold and they're going to give you the flu jab and all of this. But it's amazing. I've talked since I started this show about the attack on the human immune system. It's extremely complex, and it seems like a war on the human immune system. And
absolutely,
it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think, as you said, some people are strong and they're trying to work that right element out there. And it seems like the human immune system's been prepped in a way for something. And I'm seeing, as you said, I'm seeing a lot of people sort of starting to go down a bit and get sick and not know why they're sick, and not connecting the dots, you know, because, you know, you drink fluoridated tap water and you breathe this stuff in. It's a slow poisoning, isn't it, over your whole life?
And it is.
And you get into old age, and how are you ever going to connect it back to that poisoning? But, you know, it's happening to our children now. It's definitely a slow poisoning, and it's like they're just tweaking things to get it right on why people are stronger, of course, yeah.
And not only are they peering into our medical records to see how successful their genetic aberrations are affecting us and dragging our immune system down to enrich big pharma and medical industries, but they also are interested in what we come up with. Now, like an example, I heard from some Canadians that they're taking baths to get the nanoparticulates out, and I haven't talked about the nanoparticles. I mean, that's more bad news. The nanoparticles, to get them out of your system, and that would include Morgellons, because it's on a nanoparticulate level. They're taking baths with a half cup of borax, a half cup of Epsom salts, and a half cup of sea salt, and seeing masses of fibers and particles being exuded either out of the genitals and anus, but also out of the skin itself, because the skin too is an excretory organ, and so they're having big success with that. So I'm excited to try it. So a lot of things are coming out of the people themselves who are now realizing our condition. And it's exciting. They're sharing ideas. It's a very democratic movement. It is a non-medical model in the sense of industry. It's completely out of the people and home remedies. And so that, I'm sure that just as when Clifford Carnicom started publishing his papers on the internet back in the early 2000s, he would get, I think he had 186 hits on his site one week, on all from the Department of Defense, the CIA, the NSA, the CDC, all of these alphabet soup secret agencies of the U.S. government were all trying to see what he was coming up with. They were very interested. And I think the same thing is going on now as they assault the immune system in their bid for a transhumanist future in which everyone will become a guinea pig or an enhanced human being. They are interested to see what we come up with so that then they can counter it. You see?
That's right.
That's how this war goes. And yet, I don't really care about that, because the other secret here that I haven't mentioned, besides bolstering the immune system, is consciousness, consciousness itself. Yep. Consciousness is people completely, well, not everybody, but a lot of people very much underestimate it. They think of physical things, physical helps, physical ways to defend. And that's good. There are physical ways to defend. But one's mental ways to defend are also powerful, very powerful. But in many people, they're very weak because they've watched too much television. They're on their cell phones all the time. They've been weakened by the wireless radiation, the non-ionized type, not particularly just the ionized. they've been weakened by their lack of curiosity in what age they're living in and what's going on now, and what parts of this age are good for them and what parts are not good for them and what they will change and what they should think about and all this. They've lost their way thanks to greatly for the media. I have the media to blame. Yes. And the elites who own it. It's late for some people to think of this as a war. This is a spiritual warfare, and it's for the sake of a future humanity is how I look at it. I didn't realize that myself at the beginning. I was just finding something else out that my dear government had been involved in. But as I went deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole, I realized that this is the fight. This is maybe even the real black line fight for the future of human beings themselves. And I was able to contextualize, a lot of people talk about chemtrails in the weather, and that is important. It's important to understand how weather systems are being manipulated. But that's not the worst news. The worst news is the biological, in my mind. I remember hearing from the contrail, I was telling you, I know Rose from New Zealand, about the South Island and this latest earthquake down there, and realizing that they're terraforming. I do believe they're terraforming the South Island. And that's yet another experiment, terraforming, restructuring land masses. They did the same here in the United States when in 2005 we had Hurricane Sandy, which really sort of decimated the port, an international port down at the mouth of the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico. And they moved all the poor people out. I think it was 32,000 people just gone overnight, never to return to their homes. And their homes were bought for a penny by realtors who have big connections with the people who do these things. Same thing happened with Hurricane Sandy off of in the ports of New Jersey and New York, both international ports again. So terraforming is going on as on an experimental level. There's just so many of these experiments that it as long as it looks like nature, then nobody really balks. And now that they have this wonderful cover story of the carbons nonsense, and they can make money from it, they have a new way to pay for some of this, because this is a very expensive operation. As long as I'm at it, can I just kind of go through the other things that this is doing?
Absolutely.
This is from Clifford Carnicom, not me. He named six military operations in his wonderful documentary film, still on the net, by the way, 2005 documentary Cloud Cover, and it's also called Aerosol Crimes, so you can get either one, and you'll see the basics of how Clifford was looking at it in 2005. So the first operation, of course, is weather modification, and that's easy to explain. If you'd like me to explain how that's done, I can do that. The second one I just mentioned, environmental and geophysical modification, that's the terraforming I was just talking about. That would also include what they did to the Gulf of Mexico after the oil spill down there. They're terraforming that as well. The third would be electromagnetic operations, lots of electromagnetic operations, one of which is tomography, which is being able to penetrate the Earth with very strong microwaves, high-powered microwave, radio frequency, down, to be able to image oil possibilities, mineral possibilities. A lot of people are hearing hums and growls and trumpet sounds around the Earth. That would be what that is.
That's right.
The plates are moving, and it comes into the atmosphere and sounds like it's, you know, actually being made in the air, but it's actually in the Earth. Next would be the military operations, which are endless. This would be space weapons, directed energy weapons systems, all for what the American military calls C4, which is command, control, communications, and cyber warfare. And Dr. Rosalie Bertell, a great, great scientist, and she was a nun. She's dead now. She was an epidemiologist who specialized in ionizing radiation. And she wrote a book called Planet Earth, The Latest Weapon of War, a critical study into the military and the environment. And she had this to say, and I always like to quote this because it drives it right home what we're talking about with military operations. Quote, the ability of the HAARP Space Lab rocket combination to deliver very large amounts of energy comparable to a nuclear bomb anywhere on Earth via laser and particle beams is frightening. That's the weapon system we have. I don't worry about ICBMs anymore or missiles or any of that nonsense. We're in the directed energy weapons department ever since 9/11, which was a directed energy weapon operation. And, of course, the book to read on that is Dr. Judy Wood's Where Did the Towers Go?, a tremendously powerful book with many, many illustrations and a terrific thinking on figuring it out. We're looking at directed energy weapons now. So that's military operations. Again, you can see how an ionized atmosphere would be essential for that. The fifth one is the biological operations. I've gone into that. By the way, let's add, besides the GMO foods and the chemtrails as delivery systems, just throw in vaccinations. That's
right.
Another delivery system. And then the sixth one that Clifford had was intelligence and surveillance operations. And this is where the space fence is about to make a tremendous leap in intelligence and surveillance operations. But even before that, you had still the C4 command control communications and cyber warfare in our ionized atmosphere. You cannot have that kind of encompassing surveillance if you don't have an atmosphere that's an antenna or battery ready for those operations. So that's really, really important to them. And then Clifford and I thought up a seventh one, which is the most kind of intriguing, and I'm getting more and more interested in it, and that is the detection and obscuration of exotic propulsion systems. Many of the people who send me things on Facebook or emails are taking photographs of crafts hiding in the cirrus cloud cover. In fact, some of these crafts seem to be able to produce cloud cover, like you can see it being formed around them. So now, where are these craft coming from? Well, certainly some are ours. We have had exotic propulsion vectored craft, and that would mean any gravity craft, since we brought the Nazis over under Operation Paperclip to work in all our bases and our hospitals and our universities and scrub their records so nobody could tell they had been Nazis, changed their last names, gave them new houses, gave them new identities. All of that took place at the beginning of the Cold War after World War II, very secretly. But recently, that there are many books now on Operation Paperclip, I'm happy to say. But when I started researching it in the 90s, I was, of course, called a conspiracy theorist. So we have them. All right, is there something else? Well, there may be something else, because certainly CERN in Switzerland, on the border of Switzerland and France, is messing around with antimatter. Opening portals, I think, is how some people put it. Certainly there are things going on through CERN which would indicate that there's a dimensionality, hyperdimensions may be opened and accessed. And our atmosphere now is very plasma friendly, and plasma is for state of matter. It's a gas and it can be a fire. We're plasma physics is just the thing to go into for any people in science. The problem is it's so highly technical that you're going to need military money in order to pay for your research. So it's possible interplanetary, other dimensional beings that have certain types of exotic propulsion systems, very possible. So that's the seventh, is the detection and obscuration. Maybe you can detect them more easily with a plasma environment. Maybe you can obscure, like the Aurora ship, a triangular ship that we have that is very much anti-gravitational, so that people can't see it very well. So those are the seven operations that we know so far. Now, what's not in there, well, it is in there, but I didn't say it, is the genetic experiments, and that would come under the biological. And that's going on as well, especially now that they have the smallest wave ever known, the terahertz, which you probably experience if you have to go through a gate at a, and have your luggage looked at an airport. You will be terahertzed, and it will shred your DNA, which is a good reason not to go through those things and to just get a pat down. Anyway, those are the seven basic operations that this ionized atmosphere that chemtrails certainly contribute to giving to militaries, certainly NATO military. Is it going on in China and Russia? Probably, yeah. I mean, I have seen chemtrails over China in photographs. Russia, I'm not so certain of, but I know they're keeping up with us technologically, so I would assume they're doing it as well.
These people are insane.
Yeah, psychopaths.
Yeah, I did watch there's a pretty good video on YouTube about military smart dust, and it seemed to be a military type video, and they were sort of saying in the future how they can just cover the cities with this stuff. And I guess they're like little motes, little computers, and
Oh,
it's a good
right.
way to control the city with this kind of invisible spider web, you know.
Yeah, the only thing is, it's not in the future. It's
It's
happening right
now,
now.
yeah. That's I've actually spoken to people after heavy spraying. They said they were in traffic and saw this kind of metallic stuff in the in the sunlight. I don't know, but yeah,
Yeah, that
it
would be
makes
barium. If they can see it glittering,
barium.
it's barium.
So these nano motes or particulates that are coming down. I mean, I guess we're talking, as you said, on a nano scale,
Yes.
and that's able to slice through straight through into your organs, isn't it? Because it's just
Oh
so
yeah,
small, yeah.
we're breathing in
Going
just
straight in.
millions of them.
It would
Yes. I mean,
make
they're on the
sense.
submicron level.
It would make sense as well that because I'm starting to see them bringing in these vaccinations, but through mists now, like like a vaccine mist for the flu one, and obviously I would say that they could put that into the atmosphere as well, like all sorts of drugs and things that may be dumbing people down, because you mentioned lithium and all this, and if it's having a dumbing down sort of effect, or not so much that, or so people are forgetting, because I know there's a lot of Alzheimer's. I've seen it. There's sort of 20, 30-year-olds are getting these brain problems now and Alzheimer's, and it's almost like we're forgetting what's being done to us, but
Yes,
not caring as
exactly.
well. You know, people's
And that's
empathy,
why
and they don't care anymore. They just don't want to know about it.
that's why it's very important to really look into how you can get the nanos out. And I know I don't know if I can pronounce his name, but there's a guy on the web that who is really good. Tony Padascalero. It's one of those wonderful Italian names. He has many he's really on it because he's had Morgellons. And he went after it with a vengeance. And he has wonderful videos. And I think it's Tony Padascadello. But anyway, people can find that. And take it very seriously, the nanos. They're clogging up our whole system, and they're metallic. And just think what that means in a Wi-Fi environment, because you're conducting those radio waves through
Exactly.
your body, and they are being enhanced by the metals in your body. I wear a diode, which breaks the electromagnetic field of Wi-Fi environments, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm totally safe. I think it's a very wise thing to turn people to turn their routers off at night, at the very least, while they sleep, so that the routers are not electrifying them as they sleep. There are many things that once people realize that this is how modern life is, this is what living in a technological age means, that we have to defend our humanity and defend our biology, and the biology of our animals, our children. This is crucial to understand. And you can sit around and whine about it, and you can blame the government, and you can think that another leader will not do that. But I don't see why to waste our time. Just start looking, start probing your lifestyle and what you consider to be medical knowledge. And if you are subject to hospitals and pharmaceuticals and doctors, rethink that. There is freedom from all of that. But you have to make a real commitment to it. And that's how I pursue life. I'm very excited to be alive now. I mean, if I had wanted a challenge, I'm challenged. I'm
That's
really
right.
challenged, and I love it.
Yeah, I can't. I've said that in a strange, twisted way. It's kind of addictive, you know. All of this information, you can't get enough of it. I'm glad that I'm here, you know,
But
that I'm.
to contextualize it and then order it in the order of importance, that's the thing you have to watch out for.
It's
You
a
know,
yeah.
which is the most important that my life depends on,
That's right.
and then go from there for the rest.
I Yeah, it's amazing. The media spin is unbelievable, as you mentioned earlier. Our media is very strictly controlled in Australia. Rupert Murdoch, mainly through all the papers, and the mob are
Yeah, we're
reading this
controlled here
mind
too.
slop, as I call it. It's mind slop, and the top of the head gets opened up, and they just slop this vomit in there, and people, and it's unbelievable. They're pushing forced vaccinations here in Australia. We've got a big problem, so we're in the
I
fight
know
of our
they are.
life for here on our children. They can't go to school, they can't go to childcare now. That's a whole nother podcast there, but it's really terrible what they're doing. It's a system called no jab, no play, and then it's no pay. I've heard of no jab, no job, that you can't work anymore, and we've warned people this is coming unless something's done. You won't be able
Oh,
to
yeah.
work or travel, do anything, all that sort of stuff. We're getting a lot of Agenda 2030 stuff here now through the councils with these
Right.
green places people can live, and green bulbs and all this sort of stuff. And now I'm seeing the government talking about taxing people for driving on the mileage they use. You're getting a lot of that as well. And you're probably not aware, in Australia there's a vicious attack on natural therapies, which I never thought I'd see here, but they're really going after natural therapists, particularly homeopathy and naturopaths. And they've also gone after Chinese medicine, which is insane. They're going after absolutely everything. They're attacking vitamins and all of this. And we're starting to see the new generation vaccines coming in for just mood, and all these kind of hundreds of vaccines they're going to start bringing in for people and children with, to behavioral modification stuff and all of that. So there's really an assault on, and I've said to people, it's going to come down to what they allow you to grow in your backyard. They know how powerful foods are, I think, and they want to get into your private space to see what you're growing. Because you can get, oregano oil and all these things for Morgellons, I've heard is good. Even things simple to put in the bath could be something like baking soda. Drinking a lot of green tea, all that sort of stuff. If you don't have a lot of money. As you said, I think there's things people can do right now to go in the bath and try and at least clean their bodies and keep as clean as they can while this attack's taking place. We can get more people on side and woken up. But I think people would be horrified to think that this stuff's in them right now. That they're not a part of this when we're all a part of this. It's in you, and that's a personal thing, isn't it? To think that this stuff's going in you right now.
Well, you go through shock. You go through
It is.
phases.
Yeah, I'm all
And
right with it. I'm
I'm
fine.
over that. I've
I'm
been
over
there,
it as
done
well.
that. Yeah, I'm not shocked anymore. I'm
Nope.
committed.
Committed to do something, and that's why I'm doing this with you.
Right.
We'll go on next year. I want to keep getting you back on because there's a lot to go into. There's, I don't know, the synthetic alien biology stuff. This war on mankind is another psyop to get us looking in another direction. But it does seem like some type of parasitic alien is doing this to mankind to
Well,
feed.
I think
It's
it's, but
weird.
you must realize, be careful, because that's a psyop as
As
well.
well,
Even
that's why I asked you.
if there are entities, interdimensional entities, okay. But anything that they do, the media does, to get us to look at anything but what's happening to humanity,
That's right.
forget it. Forget it. Just put it on the back. There are much more important things here. We have young generations to think of. I mean, that here in America, the younger generations are so furious at my generation and even younger generations than mine that we have not taken care of business, that we have been asleep at the wheel. And they are rightfully very angry. And they're very cynical. And so, it's better late than never, I suppose. I mean, I've been awake all this time. I was a 60s political radical. I haven't gone to sleep, but I'm surrounded by sleeping people. And yet, I know what my watch is about, and that's all I'm gonna, I'll just keep operating out of my watch. I have to do what I have to do, no matter if people are asleep or awake. I don't get depressed over it. I just keep going.
Keep moving forward.
Yep.
Keep going forward and keep talking and
Yeah, talking,
connecting.
writing.
Yeah, it's good you're writing another book anyway.
No, it's already
It's
finished.
already done, so we're looking at a release next year.
Yeah, my publisher says he needs a year, so they need to get the cover artist and all that stuff.
very exciting on that. That's going to come out, and there's so much to cover. I mean, I've got like probably 1 million questions just from all the things that you went over, especially to do with the terraforming, because I was reading some stuff on that, and all these maniacs, what they're doing, it's unbelievable. They're really trying to play God, aren't they? And these exotic weapons, yeah, It's really incredible, and I've heard you say that it's like we're living in a microwave, and you do get that feeling. But that makes sense, and with all this technology, is really scaring me a lot too. You know, all the Wi-Fi, everything's been made wireless now with our phones and smart homes, and we're all being sort of absorbed into this.
Yes, and they're very interested in how we will. If we can handle how much non-ionized radiation we can handle. God. And they're also interested, remember, this technology, the HARP microwave technology, produced Fukushima. That was us. And they're interested in seeing, as that plume travels east, how we evolve under radiation. That's another one of the experiments. And has to do with the transhumanism. What will radiation do to us and the younger generations coming in? So, you know, they're really on the high wire now.
What are these maniacs, you know, in the military? I mean, they're doing it to themselves too. I mean, how do they protect themselves from?
Well, I think that just as with AIDS, this is what I've decided. I studied AIDS years ago and realized the World Health Organization had helped to create it, along with Dr. Robert Gallo. They had the antidote. That's you know, so their kids wouldn't get it.
They
always have
movie.
The antidote. And you notice that the mansions that they're very rich are building now are underground.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they've got their bases as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be they've created an environment down there, yeah, for themselves. A whole nother world. That's another
with excellent filters, you have excellent filters, and you get cleaned out of all the nanos and the metals. Yeah, I mean, there are ways to survive this as they go through this. This is a transitional age to the transhumanist age. I'm sure that's how they look at it.
Yeah, that's right. I'm wondering about the sprays as well. We're going to pack up now, but, you know, I was talking about the vaccines and the Nagalase and the interfering with our body's production of vitamin D3, and I'm wondering if what's coming through of our bodies aren't getting that... part of the sunlight that we need, because I'm hearing about forest die-offs because of these chemtrails, and you're getting like a lot of die-offs around the world as well with the bees and things like that. It just seems like something's slowly. It does seem like a cancer that's in the very fabric of nature that's slowly poisoning everything.
It's just aluminum. It's the aluminum oxide dropping down. It's killing the forests.
Oh my God!
Destroying the soil. It's destroying the water.
Well, you wonder who will own our food, don't you? If that you talked about the aluminum-resistant seeds from Monsanto. I mean, they're going to own all our food on planet Earth because nothing else will grow.
They control our food consumption and our water consumption. But, I mean, the end is that they want to replace nature.
That's right. Gods. Perfectly said. Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You don't get any more upfront than that.
Nope.
Replacing nature. And it seems like they just want to, with the transhumanism thing as well, they're breaking down humans, and they just want to swipe us away and bring in a different type of human, a transhuman.
Well, bring in, the cyborgs.
Exactly, I mean, humans are complex creatures, you know. And
I think they one of the terms is BCI, brain-computer interface.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, jeez. I can't take our consciousness or our soul yet.
Well, some people they can take.
I know they're working on that sort of stuff. I'm wondering about the afterlife
experience. They've already achieved it. I'm sure of it. They're cloning people. It's all going on right now. It's been going on for about 2 decades, would be my guess, at least.
Yeah.
Whenever they say the future, know that it's now, or even the past.
Goodness, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's it makes me so angry though too. I get so angry.
I understand.
Yeah, I love the planet. I love being out in nature and the natural world, and it's just such a shame.
But it's not over till the fat lady sings.
I know.
you know, this is a long war with many battles, and this is only one life. There are many lives coming up.
Yeah, I'm just hoping. I'm hoping we can make a change here, and you know, at least we're doing the right thing anyway.
Yes,
and I think you know, if we can just get people discussing stuff like we are now, you know, that's the most important thing. You know, just to get
important.
These people to sit there and shut things down and call it a conspiracy theory, and they haven't even looked at it. That's what makes me mad. It's like, at least read this book, read your book, have a read, and then come back and then see what you think. You know, but they don't want to. They just shut it down now. No, I think they're scared maybe, and they don't want to open that Pandora's box because, as you know, once you get into this research, you can't go back. Again, you know.
No, you're doing a very valuable social service.
Just get off your hands, and get up and start a show or a website and go on Facebook. Facebook's an incredibly powerful tool, and you can use it in a positive way as well. Put up all sorts of, you know, videos and connect with good people. And of course, you're over there as well, Alana Freeland. I've connected with you there. And you've got some great new shows up there, so people can listen to this and go on and listen to those, because you're covering different sort of more deeper subjects as well about the space wars and all of this. So that's over on your Facebook, and they can try and connect with you there as well. And your book as well, which is Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, looks like 2014 book that was, and that's up on Amazon and also Kindle, which is great. I use that just because I don't have much space here. That's looks like a fantastic book. I'm going to get it on my Kindle. Can people, is that the best place for people to get that book until your other one's released on Amazon? Can they get it directly off you if they want a signed copy or anything?
Well, they could. Yeah, they could. If they do Facebook, they could contact me by the
messenger
function. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook site that is a closed site. You have to ask for membership, but it's really good. The people on it, it's over about 3,000 people on it, and we really keep to the subjects that are connected, the ones we've been talking about today, and that's Alana Freeland, Chemtrails, HAARP, and the Full Spectrum. So people are welcome to ask for membership there.
That's great. You get those groups, and you can get rid of all those stupid trolls and gatekeepers. That cause trouble.
I don't get many trolls.
Yeah, after a while, they'll leave you alone. I think it's just, you know, they try and bully people off, so they stop commenting. But a lot of people are creating those sort of locked or private groups with like-minded people, and you can go in and have some great discussions and share information. It's a good tool, so I'll look out for that one. Anything else before we go you want to mention?
No, that was great. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think we're heading towards Christmas, so it's. I hope you have a good end of New Year. But I'd like to continue this in the New Year, of course, when you're available, similar time, if you can do it.
Okay.
To go on with some more issues and just keep discussing this. I've got some more things I'd like to go through. If you're able to do that. And you're also, I'd say to people to just type your name, Alana Freeland, into YouTube, because there's great interviews up there as well for people to listen to.
Right.
You've done a lot up there. Yeah, you're very active over there on the shows. You're doing a lot of alternative media and podcasts, not just this one, so people can grab those as well. Great to chat with you today. I'm not scared. I'm feeling positive.
Great.
Don't want to feed we don't want to feed the system with fear, so we want to be stay positive under all of this
and no fear.
That's the important thing, because it's, as you said, it's a psychological war as well, to make us scared all the time, and that damages our health in many ways as well. So stay positive, and we'll put this podcast up today and get it through to you as soon as it's up, and we'll keep in contact and do another show next year.
Thank you so much.
Great to speak with you.
Okay. See you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks. Oh, boy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Take from that what you will. Hope our listeners enjoyed that. And stay sane. Keep safe. Keep your immune system healthy. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our guest.